T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. A lot of reaction on the Phils from last night and some of the other teams as well. Let's talk some Eagles football with our next guest. He does a sensational job covering the Philadelphia Eagles for us. You can follow his work at 94WIP.com/GoBirds. The Go Birds page, our Eagles reporter, Mr. Elliot Shure-Parks. How you doing, Elliot?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Super.
Three weeks to the draft, Elliot. And, of course, a shakeup yesterday that will affect the draft. Carolina getting a new quarterback in Sam Darnold. Pretty simple to just say this bumps the Eagles down essentially one spot on the big board as far as level of player they get. Is that a fair, quick, easy summation?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think the Panthers will be taking a quarterback at this point, which would bump down, obviously, another skill position player. So probably not great news from the Eagles from that respect. The flip side of that, I would say, is when you look at what the Panthers got for Sam, or what they traded for Sam Darnold, I think it makes the Carson Wentz trade look even better. So definitely not a good thing from a draft perspective. But, you know, with so much talk about what Carson will be traded for, what's the market for these quarterbacks, I think you saw yesterday the Eagles did a pretty good job turning Carson into a great return.
I agree with you on that. You know, especially when you consider Carson's got a hefty contract, Darnold doesn't. For the Eagles to get what they got,
well,
I think was pretty damn good.
Carson's better. Carson also played like one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, that's
Sam Darnold never did that.
And let me clarify.
Like one of the worst quarterbacks in the league last year.
Right. When I say Carson's better, he was better. Whether he still is I think up for debate. But he was better. Yeah. Elliot, let's talk names here for this draft. At pick 12, let's just hone in. Who are the three or four main names when the commissioner reads the name from the podium? The three or four main names that you think are most likely that the Eagles will select if they stay with the 12th pick in the draft?
I think it's Jalen Waddle. Now, I know that, you know, you can debate whether or not they value the receiver that much, whether they would take one that high. And I think that's a fair debate, right? If you're going to look at positions that they value, then Gregory Rousseau out of Miami, the tackle Slater is a possibility. But Waddle to me is a guy that fits a lot of boxes for the Eagles. He's someone that, A, clearly fills a position of need. I think it helps them help the quarterback. But also, he's someone that if he was in the draft last year, he might have been the number one receiver taken. If he didn't break his ankle this year, he might have been the number one receiver taken. So I think that he's a player that the Eagles can go to the podium and say, you know, we think we're getting great value at 12. I'm not sure you can say that about guys like Slater or Rousseau. They might be, you know, correctly slated there. But I think with Waddle, you are actually getting a great value at number 12.
I prefer Waddle over Devontae Smith also because Devontae Smith is so tiny. But you do realize they're both from Alabama. What is that connection? What is the disdain that Howie has shown for Alabama players? Are we reading too much into that, or is there something there?
So I actually prefer Smith over Waddle for what it's worth. But in terms of, you know,
Alabama
thing.
Okay.
I do, yeah. Yeah. I think Smith is the next Justin Jefferson. I think that's the type of player he can be. But
he could if he doesn't get banged up because he's 165 pounds.
Right. Well, Waddle missed almost all of last year with an injury.
Sure.
So, and Smith didn't. But you know, when you talk about the Alabama thing, I think that's just a fluke. I refuse to believe Howie's purposely avoiding players from Alabama. I mean,
that's
I guess
good.
It's possible, but I would highly doubt that.
When are the Eagles going to name their starter at quarterback?
Well, does it matter? That would be the question I would throw back at you in terms of them naming it. Like, if they came out today and they said, Jalen is our starter. We are going to start him. And then the Texans decide they would trade Deshaun Watson for a 1 first-round pick. I mean, are they going to not do it because of that? If, you know, Jalen Hurts has an abysmal training camp, are they going to start him anyway? So I think one thing the Carson Wentz thing taught us is you can be extremely committed guy. You can say all those things, but things change. And I don't think there's any value to handing Jalen the job now when we saw the reaction from the locker room when the team continually handed things to Carson.
But we also saw the reaction from the locker room to Jalen Hurts as a leader. We felt like the team preferred him. I do think you ask what does it accomplish? What does it do? Well, it accomplishes something for Jalen Hurts. Like it does mean something to
be the guy. Jalen is,
and
I
don't
Jalen
care if it's going to stay the same or not. Like I do think there's value in giving him that title for the purposes of just solidarity within that locker room.
I guess, but you can make that argument then that every team should just name their starter, you know, on April 1st. Just
most teams
right?
do. Most teams well, have.
But, okay, but
have
Elliot, I think your basic point, amongst other things, is you don't necessarily think the Eagles are committed to Jalen Hurts for sure.
No, and I like Jalen Hurts. I think he is going to be a very good quarterback. I would build around him. That being said, what has Jalen done to really earn the right to be, you know, named the unquestioned starter, right? He was played 4 games last year. He was a second-round pick. So I don't get why, if you're the Eagles, why tie yourself down to him like that already when you don't have to, right? To your point, guys in the locker room do like him. They do think he's going to be the starter. Joe Flacco is not going to beat him out in training camp. So I think just kind of cementing him in like that, it just is unnecessary, in my opinion.
Do you get the sense that we're stockpiling draft picks for something other than picking college players?
Yeah, I think they're stockpiling draft picks in case Jalen Hurts doesn't work out. If Jalen Hurts works out and he plays well next year, then you have a ton of draft picks to build around him. But if he doesn't, then you have 3 first-round picks, and you're probably positioned better than any team in the league to go out and trade for either a quarterback, you know, maybe that's not on the market yet, or to move up for a number one pick next year to get whoever the best quarterback in that draft is.
Do you have any updates on the veteran quarterback watch that's going on right now?
The veteran, you mean in terms of guys
Russell
that might be
Wilson
moved?
And Deshaun Watson, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Russell Wilson's going to be traded. I guess anything is possible. Certainly we've seen that this offseason. But I don't think Russell's going to be traded this offseason. Maybe next season, but then he's a year older, and that's a different debate. The Deshaun Watson thing is just incredibly, incredibly complicated at this point. I think that, you know, obviously the off-the-field allegations are worrisome. That's something the Eagles would have to look into both legally and then also morally, right? Is this somebody that they would feel comfortable attaching themselves to? They would have to answer that question. I don't know the answer to that. So they'd have to figure that out. And then there's also the whole thing of the Texans having said they won't trade him. So I think the chances of Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson playing for the Eagles in week one are slim. I think there's a better chance it's Deshaun Watson. But I think that more than likely, Jalen Hurts is going to be the starter.
Elliot Shore-Parks with us here. Elliot, I brought this up on the show yesterday. Do you find it bizarre that the NFL, with the addition of a 17th game, couldn't find a more creative way to do it than just tacking it on to a week 18 at the end of the year? Like, I mean, is it so hard for them scheduling-wise? They like to finish where teams play within their division, but this year it's like, all right, Eagles will play the Jets, this team will play the Bills. I mean, what is it, that hard?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, when you're just doing it for money, maybe the creative part of it isn't at the top of the list.
I mean, good God. I mean, a second grader could have said, okay, just play it at the end of the season. But, I mean, what is that? I think it's stupid. Ellie, let me ask you one.
It's not great. Good for the Eagles, but yeah.
One other question that ties into the draft. It does help the Eagles' advantage was there. The tackle from Oregon, if he's available at pick 12, and it seems like he's sliding down the draft, let's say Waddle is there.
Oh, he's the
receiver.
I don't think he's sliding like that, Joe.
We've seen one draft. We saw the last mock draft from not Mel, but the other guy at ESPN, McShay, had him going 13. Elliot, if he slides all the way down there, do the Eagles take him, in your opinion, and then just say, we'll figure out Dillard and Maialata? Or does the Dillard, Maialata, plus Lane Johnson on the other side thing, I don't want to say prevent the Eagles from drafting a tackle, but would it not be, in your opinion, in the best interest of the Eagles to draft a tackle and Howie's interest?
I don't think it would be in the best interest of the Eagles to draft a tackle. First of all, there's so much talk about Howie's draft record. One thing he's been really good at, maybe the only thing he's been really good at with drafting, is finding offensive talent, offensive line talent late in the draft, right? Third, fifth round, seventh round. That's where they've found their best players. So I don't think there's a need to take a tackle that early. And the other thing I would caution them with, and I wonder if this would play into it, is the last time a premier offensive tackle out of the Pac-12 fell, he fell all the way to number 22, and the Eagles drafted him, and his name's Andre Dillard, right? So if this guy, if he falls to 12 to them, I would be worried about that, right? Dillard was viewed as a steal at the time, and now, you know, we don't even know if he can play. So if you're an elite-level offensive tackle, like if you're really that good, you're not falling all the way to 12. So those guys go early. Like, you can fall as a receiver or a less important position, but if you're along the lines or a quarterback and you can fall that far, very rarely is it because, you know, you're such an elite-level talent. So I would not take a tackle at 12 if I were the Eagles. I would count on guys like Mailata and see how that plays out, and then you can address it next year. I don't think you know, he's a good enough prospect that I would throw all that away to take him at 12.
Do you have any inside scoop insight on why Jalen Hurts changed the number from 2 to 1?
No, it's interesting that he did it. I mean, when you look back, he wore 2 in high school. He wore 2 at Alabama. He's really only ever been 1 at Oklahoma. You know, I'm wondering, maybe he wanted to take it before another receiver did. Now that receivers and, you know, linebackers and types are able to have that number. But it's an interesting decision, to say the least, especially since, you know, we spent the first part of this call debating if he'll be the starter, if they should name him the starter. You know, maybe he just kind of took that upon himself and said, I'm number one.
Yeah.
Right? So it's definitely interesting. I think I like it on him. I thought 2 looked good on him, but I think 1 looks good on him too. So I like them both.
Elliot, good stuff, man. Stay well. Call us anytime if something breaks. Draft in about 3 weeks. We look forward to it. Thanks, Elliot.
Yep, can't wait. Talk to you guys.
Thanks, Elliot.
There he is.
Elliot, I like 1. I like 1 for Jalen Hurts.
I kind of like the 2. I thought the 2 just fit him.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean,
it does.
It's silly. But it's ridiculous. 1 can fit him too.
I think there's something to what Elliot just said there. Like, he's taking it upon himself and saying, I'm the guy. I'm your guy.
Also, if it is in any way, even the slightest, tiniest bit, a response to Carson Wentz choosing 2 in Indianapolis, then it's amazing, and I fully support it. That level of pettiness, I am all in.
Well, that or the other thing, which is, I'm number 1.
I'm better than you.
Or not just Carson. I'm the number 1 guy on the team. I'm better than Joe Flacco. I'm better than Nate Sudfeld. I'm number 1. I don't know which it is, but, you know, he went from 2 to 1. Let's go to Brian right now. A lot of reaction. Phil's last night. You want to react to everything you heard from Elliot there? 215-592-9494. Brian's with us. What's up, Brian?
Good morning, Joe and John. How are you?
Doing great, Brian.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound loud.
Are you really calling from Augusta? Site of the Masters this week?
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, right. God, it's gorgeous down here right now, too.
Good, man.
Hey, before I get to Matt Moore, John, I think you just said something like, why are they reluctant to commit to Jalen when they were never hesitant to commit to Carson? And I get that, but let's not forget what Carson showed us in 2017. Okay, he was outstanding, wasn't he? So they had something that they had at least something to base it on. He never reached that level again, and he may never. But at least they had something to go on, and maybe hope he'd capture it again.
It does mean something, though. You know, I know it's sort of like a figurehead thing when they put depth charts out and that sort of thing, but it matters to the players a lot more than I think the Eagles take into account. And this is just another way that I think they fall short because they don't really understand the locker room dynamics. It matters, even if it's just for a short time. Even if it's not even real, I think Jalen Hurts, if he's the starter, you should go ahead and name him the starter, and it will matter to the his teammates as well, that they know that he's the guy. It's something little, but I do think it's important.
That's fine. I don't think there's I can see the merit in that, and you know, and if he doesn't earn it, or if he doesn't play up to it, then then you do something different.
You can lose the spot.
Yeah, right. So Matt Moore. Okay, first of all, he only gave up 2 runs. okay? It's not like they were belting them all over.
Well, he only got 11 outs.
Yeah, okay.
But he looked weak, too. It looked like they had just totally figured him out. I mean, he was gonna pitch him inside, and it was going to be 91 miles an hour and not moving much.
Yeah, first time through the batting order, he looked okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was all over. But anyway, I wanted to ask you this. What do you think it's like inside the head of Matt Moore to come after those first three starters and to know that you're basically a journeyman? Do you think that gets in your head a little bit that, God, I'm they're running me out there after Nola and Wheeler and who's the third guy? God,
Eflin.
I think to some degree, you feel like you're sort of an imposter. You know, like
I
could not get a job in this league. You know, last year, and here I am pitching behind guys who are just owning the batting orders.
You're right.
Yeah, there's probably something to that.
All right, Brian, give me what you got for who's a nice guy or gal.
Roger Federer.
Roger Federer. All right, he does seem like a fine fellow.
Yeah, he does.
He's had a lot of success. Top-end athlete, no doubt about it. Seems like a good dude.
Hey, yes. So looking at my notes.
Yep.
Star, Matt Moore. This is, you know, of course, last night while I'm watching.
I love your star.
I do this.
System.
Yeah,
like,
this
we know
is,
what that means.
Because this is important. I asterisked it.
Got it.
Okay. Matt Moore, 31 pitches in the third inning, walked two in the inning. Feels like they've already figured him out. They're getting a bat on everything he throws. He feels weak.
Yeah.
I don't think he can be our four. Bases were loaded on the third out grounder. I'm already dreading the fourth inning.
Well, you can also put it to a second time through the lineup, which is concerning as well. Well,
either way you look, it's all the same to me. It's just you're not good enough. I mean, that's
the point, yeah.
Well, James, what you're saying and John, what you're saying both is summed up by you're just not very good.
The point is I think Matt Moore might be a reliever and not a starter.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, let's see this guy tonight. Chase Anderson guy. Because, I mean, for all we know, the Phillies could have three legitimate starters and no others.
Yeah.
By the way, I'll bring up two, you know, this did not get a 3 or 4 star rating from me in my notes. But I'll give you 2 points that I also jotted down last night. These were no star points. But one is I had to ask Seltzer the question. James, what is the rule? There was a pop-up that a Met had infield. Reese Hoskins came charging in. I'm sorry, I have it the other way around.
Boom, right?
Oh, no, I got this wrong. It was at a batter. Yeah, it was a Mets batter. Reese came charging in to try to catch it. And the Mets batter stopped so Reese could catch it. What happens if Reese keeps coming and the Met guy keeps going? And they clearly were about to bump into each other. I mean, when
in the base path?
It was going to be on a direct line in the base path. It's just foul ball. Like, the Met guy did the Phillies a favor by stopping a run, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Should have kept running.
That's what I thought.
100%.
I wondered.
He's in the base path. He's allowed to run.
That's exactly what I thought.
100%.
And to me, John, if he keeps going, Reese probably doesn't get to that ball.
Hmm.
So that's the other thing that stood out to me of very
I got
little.
Another thing on Reese.
All right, go ahead. You give me
similar.
Your Reese.
I mean, it's a base path thing on the, in the eighth inning where the third baseman errant throw
home.
Who's got the right of way?
The catcher blocking that plate there?
Yeah, I mean Reese chopped them.
All right, let me be crystal clear.
Let me be
clear, and I'm going to turn it over to Seltzer in a second. I am a hardcore sports fan. I am a hardcore baseball fan. This has been going on for 5 or so years. I have no clue what the rule is for a home plate blockage by a catcher.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the rule is.
Right.
I don't know what he's allowed to do. I don't know what he's not allowed to do.
Yeah.
I watch baseball all the time. I don't know what the rule is.
Yeah.
James, do you know what the rule is?
I don't know if Major League Baseball knows what the rule is. Look, that JT play on opening day.
I know.
You could have argued he was blocking the plate, right? And I know the ball brought him there. And
I don't
stuff,
get it.
I don't. It feels like it's judgment calls in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
All right, one other really minor point, except this is the kind of thing that irks me, so I got to bring it up. We saw a dork on display last night.
Uh-oh.
We saw a dork.
Were you at the stadium?
No. Stop. Stop.
I had to.
I wasn't looking in a mirror. I looked, as everybody that watched the game last night looked, at a Mets batter get walked and dork run his way to first base.
Oh, God, yes, Joe. Thank you for bringing this
dork.
Up. Dork. Brandon Nimmo's the worst. I hate the face. I hate everything.
Dork.
You know what? When he did that.
Full speed, he sprinted.
I thought, Dork. You know what? He's just staying warm.
Dorkazoid. Oh,
loser.
Dorkazoid.
Who cares how it looks?
That's correct.
If you're so concerned about appearances, then go ahead and blow your hammy out when you try to explode from first to second.
What if he blows his hammy out sprinting to first base on a walk?
Like Gramatica. Remember when Gramatica tore his knee?
Yeah, I do. The point is, if you need to be ready to run, now you've been afforded an opportunity to run, and he sprinted. I was fine with it.
I'm asking for some support here on the phone lines, 215-592-9494, if you saw it. And I know Pete Rose used to do his little hustle thing down to first base. I get it. That Met guy last night that was full-out sprint, dork, to the phones. Let's go to Eric in Lancaster. Hey, Eric.
I was supposed to say
Lancaster, right? Did I do the Lancaster?
Right,
yeah. John knows.
You got it right. Lancaster is second.
Lancaster.
Hey, I don't know if you guys caught any of post game last night, but Barkamp put Ricky Bell on the spot pretty good. He was saying, basically talking about the zero production that we're getting out of center field position, and he basically said he stopped short of saying it outright because he's got people to answer to, but he said that the solution can be solved in-house, and it's currently residing in AAA.
You talking about Odubel or Moniak, or is he talking about Kingery?
He's talking about Herrera.
Well, see, here's the thing. I don't know that to be true, Eric, because, you know, let's remember, Odubel Herrera 2 years ago, a lot of the shine had come off him. I mean, Eric, I think there's a misconception about what happened in spring training because he had, I'm talking about now this year, 2021, he had a bunch of hits in, like, the first couple games of spring training. He batted like 230 in spring training. He stunk in spring training.
He had a strong start and then really trailed off significantly this spring training. And when he was playing here back, you know, in the day, a couple of years ago, we were incredibly annoyed with him. He was always making bonehead
plays. Don't know that he's not Franco, a guy that was maybe going to be a core piece of the Phillies, you know, maybe. Who just in time you just move on from? Like I don't think he's very good. I really don't.
I think he's a better option for this team, especially because you got to remember back then. Here's what you guys are talking about. He's hitting the middle of the lineup. On this team, he's hitting probably eight.
I don't know, man. They moved him down to seven eventually. Remember when Franco was hitting eight? My recollection, the start of 2019, is Herrera was hitting seven. I'm telling you, a lot of the shine had come off Odubel. Is he better? Is he better than Roman Quinn? Yes. Is he better than Adam Haseley? Probably, not definitely, but probably. But he's not very good. I really don't think he is.
I just think there's a point in the season that you're going to bring him up, and I understand the PR concern with not having him on the opening day roster, but it's going to happen at some point, so why not get it over sooner rather than later?
It's possible. All right, Eric, give me what you got. Who's the nice person?
I think you guys will like this one, though. The Flying Hawaiian, Shane Victorino.
Oh, yeah, Victorino's awesome. Eric, appreciate the call. 215-592-9494. Up ahead. The race that nobody is talking about. Nobody is discussing a certain race. What it is, I'll tell you next. Show to Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.